welcome to the online worship service for the Antioch Church of Christ. Just as we watched in that video, we are community in Christ. We have a connection that goes far beyond anything physical here on this earth. We have a connection that takes us into eternity. That being said, being physically apart, I know is difficult at this time as we go through that. I think Paul kind of felt that at the beginning of his letter to the church there in Rome, when he said, "I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both your faith and my faith." And in a way, that's what this time is. It's a time for us, even though we're separated, to be mutually encouraged by one another's faith. Because the truth is, we are, although separated, we are worshiping together. We have all come together under the umbrella of Jesus to worship this morning. And so as we sing, as we sing these songs, as we look, dive into His Word, as Whit delivers a message to us, as we commune together, lean into that we are being mutually encouraged by one another's faith. Let's sing together.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all bells, all bells, and we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you.
Deeper, Lord, deeper, Lord. Good morning, Antioch. Hope everybody is doing well. I know I sure miss being around everybody and just can't wait to that Sunday that we get the family reunion, everybody back together. Coming down here to the building and looking around, it just seems so vacant and empty, knowing that the people that fill this auditorium are the church. You know, the last month or so has been very interesting, to say the least. In early March, we experienced some very violent and damaging tornadoes hitting Nashville and some of the surrounding counties. We read of some families laying their heads down on a Monday night and unfortunately never seeing the sunrise on Tuesday morning. Some families did make it through the storm, but they were separated from other family members and friends. For days, there were people who were missing and unaccounted for. They were separated from their loved ones. Many did wake up on Tuesday to see their lives completely changed. They saw the empty lots where their homes once stood 24 hours earlier. People lost their homes, family members, their cars, and worldly possessions from this terrible storm, separated. Over the last few weeks, this country has experienced something we have never witnessed before in our lifetime. People are getting sick, and unfortunately, some are dying. People are carrying this virus around and not even knowing that they have it. We see patients that are quarantined, isolated, and separated from their family and loved ones. Those that are admitted to the hospital are basically dropped off at the entrance. Family members are not allowed to enter the hospital or to go to the rooms assigned to their patients, separated. Oh, there's a chance you may have an opportunity to wave or say, I love you, but it'd only be through a glass window. Again, separated. All that being said, there's one who will never be separated from us. One who promises that if you will accept and commit your life to following him, that you will have a connection with him for eternity. The day we turn our lives over to serving him is a day of a new beginning. Separation does not exist where you have a relationship with our Lord. There will never be a storm or a fire strong enough. There will never be a loss of job or the loss of financial security that will ever stand in the way with your connection with God. Your relationship is now forever. Separation is a thing of the past. I've got a few scriptures here I was going to read, and then I'll have a prayer for the communion, and I'll have a prayer for both. So if you will go with me here, Romans 8:38 says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us. Will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. John 6:35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go thirsty, and whoever believes in me will never... Let me reread that. John 6:35 says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Matthew 26:27 says, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this bread that you give us, Lord. Thank you for the representation of it being the body of Christ who was sacrificed. Lord, you sent Jesus down here to live and to die and be a part of this world. And Lord, and you allowed him to be sacrificed and crucified upon the cross for our many sins. We also partake, Lord, of this cup, which represents the blood that flows freely from his body. Lord, we know that his blood washed the sins away from us, Lord, and gives us eternal life with you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that's been done for us, Lord, and we just pray for this day for all of our members. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, church. Benton, thank you for taking the time to lead us through the Lord's Supper this morning. I hope that you and your family, wherever you find yourself this morning, had an opportunity to really spend some time communing with the Lord and with one another. And so at this point, we are going to say a prayer for our offering. Before we do that, I do want to remind everyone of ways that you can give. You can give online, or you can mail a check to the church, or if you want to physically drop a check off at church, we've had people do that as well. We have someone here from 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday, and so we're still here in the offices. You want to come by and hang out and talk to Cheryl for a few minutes and maintain the 6-foot distance. We encourage you to come and be social with us. We're lonely up here, so come join us. Let's pray and ask God to bless this offering. Father, thank you for loving us enough to give us your Son. And Father, that gift, it's hard to comprehend what that means to us and our lives, Father, but it is far beyond any material or physical blessing that we have on this earth. Father, the things that you have given us, that you have made us stewards of, Father, I pray that we can take those things and that you would just multiply them tenfold, 20-fold, or more, that they may be used to bring people into an eternal relationship with you. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning, I do have a few family news things. First of all, we just want to make sure that you're getting information. And so, again, if you are not getting information, send us an email to info@antiochcfc.org. If you have a prayer request, we've been trying to share those through social media and email and a midweek update on Wednesdays. Send those prayer requests in so that we can get that information to you. If you have questions, feel free. Again, the church office is open. Call the church office, 615-834-3063. Chat with Cheryl, and she'll help make sure that you get the information that you need. This morning, we do have a children's worship offering. It's a pre-recorded WOW. And so if you would like to get your kids set up for that, you can find that on Facebook. At this time, my son, near and dear to my heart, Gabe Sowards, is going to read scripture for us. And then after that, Brother Witt will bring us the lesson.
I'll be reading Proverbs 8, 34 through 35. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thee, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. And all of God's people said, Amen. Good morning, church, and welcome to this fifth online worship service for the Antioch Church of Christ. During this pandemic, we've had five. This is number five. And I do pray. We pray all the time. I know you do as well, that we can quickly assemble face to face. I know that God has given us this incredible opportunity to come together online, and I think that we can take advantage of the opportunity, and I think we have, to draw even closer to the Lord and closer to each other. But as I say just about every week for the past 4 weeks, I miss you. I miss seeing people move in this foyer. I miss watching you in the classrooms and the auditorium. I miss hearing the children laugh and play. I know you do as well. So as the Apostle John says in 3 John in verse 2, he wrote, I pray that you are in good health. And then he added, I know it is well with your soul. So that is not only my prayer, but I really have confidence and faith that you are doing well. And if you need some help, just call the church building, get a hold of me or someone else, one of the shepherds or one of the staff, and we'll do whatever we can, by God's grace, to give you a hand. Have you ever wondered about the word blessed? I was thinking about the word blessed for the last couple of weeks, really. I know that we have incredible blessings from God. Those of us who are in Christ, we have all the spiritual blessings as well. And I've thought, what can I do during this pandemic, during this social distancing? What can I do when I'm quarantined, when I'm sequestered in my home, not to increase God's material blessings, but what can I do for the Lord to bless me even more in Christ? After all, the word blessed simply means God showing favor. In fact, it's often translated as the word happy. If you'll recall, in certain translations, English translations, you can look at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. You know, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the word in both of our testaments, both in the Greek language and the Hebrew language, both imply happiness and blissfulness. And the reason is because God's presence is there. So whenever I ask for God to bless me, or whenever I'll sign an email often, or a text, I'll say blessings. What I'm really extending to you is for God to remind you that He's with you all the time, and therefore you just tend to be happier. So I was wondering, what can we do in the course of this pandemic to actually increase our joy, be even happier? And then I ran across this text in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 8, verses 34 and 35. And I think this is what we'll, not I think, we're going to use this text for the next few minutes for this message. The wise King Solomon, God through Solomon, is writing. And by the way, he's making reference to wisdom. But in Proverbs, wisdom and God are always interchangeable. In fact, one word pretty much means the other. They are synonymous. And so God speaks through Solomon, and he says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me, finds wisdom, finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, I want you to notice three ways that we can clearly, if we do these things, that God will bless us even more, meaning God will show favor. He will reveal His presence even more. And that is, we need to listen to Him. We need to watch for God. And we need to wait on God. And so I thought we would take these three words here, listen, watch, and wait, and see if we can apply them to our own life, especially since we're somewhat quarantined in our homes. So let's look at this first one, listen. I don't know about you, but this COVID-19 crisis has helped me grow my faith. It's helped, you know, when it comes to loving God and loving others, which are the first and the second greatest commandments, this moment, if we use it wisely, and I pray that you have, will actually help us strengthen our love for God and our love for others, even our fellowship. It may be that you've discovered over the past 4, 5, 6 weeks that your fellowship with each other, not face to face, you know, where you can grip and grin and hug and howdy and touch each other, but it has increased how you feel about your brothers or sisters or others who are in need, not just those in the family of God, but I mean the entire world. And it's increased your love for humanity. And you're asking yourselves, you know, what can I do to help others? And you may not have been thinking those thoughts if you were out working every day, doing your normal thing, taking care of your family, and so forth. But now that we're sequestered, we do have the time to ask ourselves, what else can I do? And so that alone is you growing in Christ, wanting to reach out and help others. Let me share with you what the last 5 weeks have done for me in one particular area. You know, we talk about spiritual disciplines. The spiritual disciplines, normally, you know, scholars and historians and writers and those who read scripture, you know, Bible students, somewhat they've come up over the centuries with 12 basic spiritual disciplines. Things like prayer and Bible study and fasting and silence and solitude and meditation and even journaling. Things, all of these disciplines that will help transform us into the image of Christ. Well, I can tell you that for me, all of the disciplines that have actually improved in my daily walk, it's been prayer. Let me quickly explain. I don't want to take up too much time this morning with this. I could talk about this really for the next hour. We won't, but I could. Prayer, which is our lifeline to heaven, is far, far more than just speaking. It's a conversation. And if I were to converse with Debbie, I do every day, my wife, it's both speaking and listening. In fact, sometimes she'll stop me and she'll say, "Did you hear me?" And I'll look and I'll say, "Yeah, of course I heard you." And then she asks a very unfair question. She'll say, "Well, then tell me what I said." And I'll, which by the way, that really is, wives, an unfair question to ask your husband, I think. So she'll sometimes follow that with, "Well, what were you thinking of?" And truth is, I was maybe thinking about the fantasy football team that I was trying to put together. But in any case, conversation is both speaking and listening. It's the one mouth, two ears kind of thing. You know, you listen twice as much in time that you actually speak. So when I talk about I've increased my prayer life, what I've really increased is my listening part of the prayer life. And I think the more we listen to the Lord, the more that God will bless us. You know, blessed is the man, happy is the man who listens to me. So, do you recall the text in 1 Samuel 3 with the prophet Eli and the young boy Samuel, who would be taking his place in just a few years from that time? You can recall the story. Hannah, Samuel's mother, begged the Lord for a child, and she said, "If you give me a son, I will give him to you." And God said, "Yes, Hannah, and you know, you will be with child." And she was. She gave birth to Samuel, and she offered Samuel to the temple, you know, to God, with Eli, who was the prophet at the time and the priest. Anyway, Eli is sleeping in his own quarters and Samuel sleeping in the temple, and all of a sudden God speaks to Samuel, to the young boy Samuel, and God says, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel awakens from this, thinking that it was Eli who was speaking to him. So he gets up from his bed and he goes to Eli's quarters and he says, "Yes, yes, master, what do you want?" And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel returns to bed and God says, "Samuel, Samuel." And he gets up again. He goes back to Eli. He does this three times. And finally, the old prophet, Eli, begins to put it all together and he knows what's happening. So he says, "Samuel, the next time you hear the voice, this is what you say. Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And that's exactly what happened. Samuel returned to his bed and God said, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Your servant is listening." There's something about listening to God, and that takes time. And the reason that this sequestering pandemic has helped me in that, and it will help you too, and perhaps it already has, is that we have fewer distractions. In a conversation that you're having, I'll often, as I've said, have it with my wife. If a lot of things are happening, then I get very distracted. But if we're just by ourselves and the room is quiet and we're looking at each other, it's much easier for me to actually listen. Well, God speaks to us in all sorts of ways. We don't have the time to go through every one of these. I may address it next week. I'm not quite sure. But very quickly, God speaks to us through His Word. There is no doubt that God speaks through the Word of God. And every time I read Scripture, God speaks to me. One of my favorite texts is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul writes, "All writings are God-breathed." Theopneustos, God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired of God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in goodness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. There is no doubt that God speaks through His Word, His revelatory Word. But He also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, that He's given to each of us. You'll recall in Acts 2:38, just one of many passages that talk about the Spirit being imparted. And the Apostle Peter is preaching the very first gospel sermon. He says, "Repent, and be baptized, all of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about the gift of Christ, the gift of the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, 9, that where dwells within us. Now, not only does the Spirit of God dwell within us, but He intercedes even in our prayers. And there's no doubt that the Spirit of God also nudges us. Have you ever felt nudged by the Spirit? And you have to be listening for this to happen. One of my favorite passages, and we'll read it quickly from 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. John writes, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything." What John says is the only way that we are reassured that we have the Spirit, the truth, living within us is when our hearts condemn us, when our consciences are pricked. We all commit sin. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've done things I shouldn't have done. But every time I've committed sin, and I'm positive it's true with you too, if you're in Christ, every time I've committed sin, I feel bad. My conscience, my heart hurts. Now, the same sin could have been committed and has been probably by millions with my next door neighbor, and he or she just feels nothing about it. And if that's the case, the difference is because I am in Christ and Christ is in me, and they are not. They've chosen to be unbelievers. What I'm trying to say is listening is more. God speaks to us more. This is primary, but the Lord speaks more than just what we read in Scripture. It's the nudging of the Spirit. Now, God speaks to us not only through His Word and through the Spirit, but when He speaks, the reason sometimes I think we don't hear this still small voice is simply because too many distractions, and we're not listening. So, 1 Kings 18 is a beautiful text. I'll go through it rather quickly, but you'll recall the prophet Elijah has just defeated in the northern kingdom of Israel with the king Ahab and the queen Jezebel, who they worshiped foreign gods, pagan gods. And Elijah had just defeated at the foot of Mount Carmel 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. Now, Jezebel wasn't there during that moment. The moment she returns, she sends word to Elijah, and she says, "I swear by my gods that this time tomorrow you will be as they are," which means you will be dead. And you'd think Elijah would stand firm and courageous, but it's like Peter walking on the water one moment and sinking the next. Elijah runs for his life the moment he's threatened by Queen Jezebel. He goes to Mount Horeb. He finds the innermost cave. He goes into the cave and he hides. And the Lord passes by. First, the Lord passes by. And when he does, Elijah feels this great wind blowing. He looks out, you know, the entrance of the cave, and he sees a tornado type of wind. But God was not in the wind. And then Elijah, the text tells us, feels this huge earthquake. I mean, the ground shaking, the mountain shaking, everything's moving, but God was not in the earthquake. Then he sees this enormous fire outside the entrance of the cave, just everything on fire. But God was not in the fire. And then he hears a still, small whisper. And God spoke to him, "Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here?" Something about a whisper. When someone whispers, you have to pay attention. Even if you've got two good ears and great hearing, which I don't, but I especially have to pay attention. So for those who speak very softly, I can't have any distractions. I need to be focused exclusively on the person speaking. And I tell you the truth, church, this pandemic has focused my listening on God. And it's been beautiful. The Spirit inside has nudged me to want to read certain scriptures. It's nudged me to do certain things. It's nudged me to pick up the telephone and call someone, FaceTime. It has nudged me, he has nudged me in such a way that I just don't think I would hear, I had heard very often, because I was simply too distracted. You want to be blessed more, you want to be happy, then God says, listen to me. He also says, watch for me. Listen to me and watch daily at my gates. One of my favorite poets is Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She and her husband Robert, two extremely, world-renowned poets of yesteryear. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, one of the verses in a longer poem that she wrote, starts with these words, Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries and daub their faces unaware. That's most of the world, and that's me and you occasionally. I trust that we're also those who see God everywhere. The heavens declare the glory of God. Nature declares the glory of God. And so when God says in Proverbs 8:34, when he says, blessed is the man, happy is the person who listens to me and watches for me. And so I ask myself, well, what do you mean watch for you? And I believe this is one very, very good example when Jesus was speaking to the righteous. And he said, when I was hungry, you gave me food. And when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was sick and in prison, you visited me. And the righteous will say to the king, to King Jesus, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And when did we see you thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you naked and clothe you, and a stranger and welcomed you, and sick and in prison and visited you? When did we do these things? And King Jesus says, as you did it to the least one of these, you did it to me. I believe the text in Proverbs 8:34, when Solomon says, God through Solomon, watch for me, watch at my gates, simply means that we are to open our eyes, kind of a John 4 moment with Jesus, open our eyes and see the fields widen to the harvest. There are those all around us who need help. And this horrible crisis, at the very least, has helped me, has helped you see those in need. And therefore, the moment we see the need and we reach out, we're simply watching for God. And it's a beautiful moment to think that we're more blessed, we're happier when we do that. Well, again, God speaks and he says, if you want to be happy, then listen to me, watch for me, and wait for me. A very beautiful psalm, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. He's not talking about doing nothing. That's not what the word be still means. It simply means lose your distractions and remember who you are and to whom you belong. Be still. Quiet things around you. In the midst of the storm, let everything be quiet. Focus exclusively on me. Be still and know that I am God. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:24 and 25, he's talking about salvation, talking about being redeemed in Christ. The verses just before these verses, Paul is addressing Jesus returning and redeeming us. We are in that moment of redemption. And Paul writes, for in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we wait for it with patience. How in the world can we wait patiently for something that we're hoping will happen? Well, it depends upon the one who offered the promise. We use the word hope in our English language very flippantly. We'll say, I hope it rains. It may or may not rain. I hope it doesn't rain. It may or may not rain. I hope this, I hope that. But in Scripture, the word elpis means a certainty. And so whenever we read the word hope, in this case, for in this hope we were saved, it's talking about God making a promise to us. And that's how we can wait at his door, Proverbs 8, 34 and 35. That's how we can wait for God patiently. Why? Because we know the one who made the promise. Let me give you a quick example. I hope it illustrates it well. I've asked my granddaughter, Gracie, if I could use this as an example. And she said, yeah, Pop, go ahead. So this is the example. Over a year ago, that little girl, she was 10 at the time, she wanted a certain breed of dog. She wanted a puppy, a miniature dachshund. Well, they discovered that a miniature dachshund from the breeders is very, very expensive, several hundred dollars. And so her daddy got with her and said, if you really want this dog, then you save money for it. When you have enough money, let me know, we'll talk about it. Now, the reason she patiently waited, saving her Christmas money and birthday money and all the monies that were coming from family and friends and so forth, the reason she could do that is because she trusted her daddy, that he would not renege on the promise. He was trustworthy. And by the way, yesterday, she actually picked up the dog. And that's that miniature Dachshund. I can tell you, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, the dog's cute, but look at her, isn't she really cute? Okay. If we want to be blessed by God, we need to listen and watch and wait. And this pandemic that the world is suffering from, and that we pray for every day God will heal our land, this pandemic is a great opportunity to listen and watch and wait. And then it goes on in verse 35, those who seek and find the Lord find life. So this morning, my prayer is for you and for me that we will listen more carefully, watch more attentively, and wait patiently. Amen.
Rise and thunders roar.
roar. I must soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. I will be still.
In this time of crises, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen.